We've been robbed so many different ways, but enough is enough. You see, for the last 2,000 years, it's been known as the Gentile Age, and it was God's emphasis to reach non-Jews with the Jewish Messiah. But just before the Messiah returns, we're told that spiritual scales are going to come off of the eyes of Jewish people, and we Jewish people are going to know the Jewish Messiah who the Gentiles have been following in a Gentile culture. So in order for this to occur, we're going to recapture the original biblical Jewish culture of what is called Christianity, but I believe is really God's form of Judaism. My guest, Bill Norford, has a translation of the Bible that is so fresh and so different. It's called the Power New Testament. It recaptures the original Jewish roots. You see, there are idioms that Jesus and Paul used that everyone understood. For instance, Bill Morford, give me an example of an English idiom.
Oh, raining cats and dogs. And to somebody that doesn't speak English or hasn't heard that, even if they're English speaking, they wonder, what's going on out there? I've never seen cats and dogs pour out of heaven.
And for instance, I was reading in this, and it's so wonderful because you really can, for the first time, understand some of these Hebrewisms or idioms. For instance, the Messiah said, blessed are the poor in spirit. But what was that an idiom for?
Repentant.
Now that is very, to me, I can understand
right.
that. But why did you call it the Power New Testament?
Because there's so much power that's left out. When you study Greek, you're told this tense, this is to be translated in this manner. And then you read any translation that our scholars have done, the same men who teach that, they don't translate it that way because they're into too much polite, politically correct.
Now, I think the power was left out because the people that translated didn't understand the supernatural
right.
power.
That's right. They're scholars. They're not hands-on ministers. They don't expect to see miracles.
And I have to tell you, if there was just one thing I got from this translation, and there's so much, I mean, you have how many pages of this, of notes of Jewish roots, that there's no way a Christian could understand without these notes. I mean, this is the culture. Jesus is Jewish. The first apostles, Jews. The people that wrote this book, Jews. The culture, Jewish. The country, Israel. I mean, give me a break. But the one thing that I absolutely loved in this was your translation for disease or sickness.
Right. Evil. Evil is the Greek word that's used, kakos. And it's translated evil once in John and once in Acts, but 10 times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they translate it as sickness instead of evil.
So now, you see the difference it makes? I mean, Bill, what a difference, because you can't, in other words, if you think that sickness comes from God, then you're saying evil comes from God. And this book says God is pure love and there's no evil in him. So therefore, if you translate sickness evil, you recognize it's an enemy. You've been living that way for how long? Sickness is evil.
More than 25 years.
Well, how did you come to this revelation that you don't have to be sick?
It was desperation. I was driving in the middle of the night. My son and I were driving down from New England back to South Carolina. And 3 o'clock in the morning, I was on interstate in Pennsylvania that was just chopped up. Terrible. The right lane was completely blocked off to be resurfaced. And at 3 a.m., my son was sound asleep on the back seat. An 18-wheeler came up behind me with the biggest headlights I think that had ever been made and shone right on there, and I had a headache that wouldn't quit. No way to turn off, no way to stop, no way to do anything. And I just cried out to Jesus, and that headache left like that.
That's wonderful for headaches. How about other things?
Anything. Well, I figured before that, I thought, well, you go to him for cancer or heart attack, but, you know, little things, just a headache, I just take an aspirin. Well, if he'll take care of a headache, he'll take care of the most minor thing ever. And he really has with me. I haven't lost one moment's sleep from having a stuffy nose, sore throat, anything.
How about your vision?
Well, I stopped wearing glasses in 1984.
But so, you know, if you get this concept, sickness is evil, sickness is not from God, and I'll tell you, your word-for-word study, you actually studied under the grandson of one of the most famous rabbis in all of history. You see, Eliezer ben Yehuda is the one that put together modern-day spoken Hebrew. And it's because we have a debt of gratitude to him, because otherwise we wouldn't have spoken Hebrew. But his grandson, it's almost prophetic. We could not have Israel, because Jews come from all over the four corners of the earth, right, without Eliezer ben Yehuda. But we could not have had this translation without his input of the Jewish roots.
Amen. That's right. And we moved to Lakeland not knowing that I was going to do that translation, not knowing that we were ever going to need a Jewish rabbi, not knowing one person in Lakeland.
Yeah,
the
but
Lord
guess
led
what?
Us there.
His wisdom is in this translation. Wait till you hear about what his translation is in Mark. I mean, next to that thing about sickness, wait till you hear this translation from the Gospel of Mark. It will outstand. I'm going to tell you, you're going to get physically healed. I believe they're going to get physically healed.
That's right.
Be right back.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural.
Hello, YouTube Mishpacha. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Bill Morford. We're discussing his new translation. It is so powerful. That's why it's called the Power Translation. Yeah, let me ask you a question. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, I have taken your translation. Would you read that? Mark 11:23. I've taken this and been able to enter the supernatural realm just on that.
Verse 23 is, truly I say to you that whoever would say to this mountain, you must immediately be removed and you must immediately be cast into the sea, and would not doubt in his heart, but would believe that what he is saying is happening, it shall be to him. Because of this, I say to you, you must continually pray for everything. Then for whatever you are asking, believe that you have taken it already, and it will be there for you.
And as you know, the thing that so excites me is that tense, have taken it already. So what I like to tell people is, you see, the Messiah said that his kingdom should be on earth as it is in heaven. If you need to take something from the kingdom of heaven and transfer it to earth, you must believe you have already taken it. And so, like, if I needed new elbow, I would just reach into... Now, I hope that doesn't sound too way out for you, Bill.
No.
I would just reach into the supernatural realm and have taken it already. Now, this whole idea that you were talking about earlier, in your translation, that instead of sickness, you say the better translation is evil.
That's and right.
How does this correspond with the Hebrew scriptures when
Hebrew
God talks?
Uses a number of times. For instance, in Deuteronomy 7:15, God says he will not put any of those evil Egyptian diseases on us. Isn't that awesome?
So in the Jewish scriptures, God refers to disease and sickness as evil. in the New Testament it's referred to as evil. Who would want to ever, in their wildest imagination, embrace evil?
Right.
Tell me a bit about Eliezer ben Yehuda. How valuable was he in understanding the Jewish idioms and the Jewish roots that you've put together in this New Testament?
It was amazing. He had studied the New Testament when he was in seminary and knew a number of passages that were very helpful to me. But he was completely open. Anytime I found a Greek passage that I needed clarification, I just asked him, and most of the time it was either a Jewish idiom, a Hebrew idiom he was talking about, or a Jewish custom that it was referring to, and he was able to explain the whole thing.
Now, there are so many, you've got pages and pages of
right.
these Jewish customs that, again, if you don't understand, you can't understand the New Covenant. But of all of them, what is one that just amazed you and electrified you?
Well, one is, it doesn't seem that much, but one that really made an impression on me is, I always envisioned Jesus talking to Martha when she complained about Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and having her do the serving, and Martha's complaining, and Jesus would say, "Oh, Martha, Martha, that's okay." And that's not what he said. What he said was, "Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the better thing." Now, isn't that? He was rebuking. In fact, it's a very stern rebuke in Hebrew.
Totally different spin when you read it in most translations.
It is. It is, yeah. And Jesus was much more powerful in his speech. He used a lot of things in the imperative. Like when he was walking on the water, he didn't just say, "Oh, don't be afraid." He was giving them a command. Stop fearing. Stop fear now, is what it actually came out in the Greek that he was expressing.
Why do you think there is such an interest in Jewish roots right now? What's your spin?
My spin is that's my heart, is to teach the church.
You're not Jewish.
Jewish roots.
You're not Jewish. Why do you want to teach the church Jewish roots?
Because that gets us back to the first century church. We want to see people healed by the shadow of Peter. We want to see people healed by a handkerchief from Paul. And that's all in the first century church. But see, they were Jewish. They honored the seasons of the Lord. They knew the things that we're just now getting into to bring back the Jewishness of the documents, of the Gospels, and of Paul's letters.
Listen, we are at the fullness of the Gentile age. There was a beginning point, and we were dealing with reaching Gentiles. This was God's agenda, but it's changed now, if you haven't noticed. The agenda now is look at the nation Israel, front and center stage. Look at so many Jewish people, the spiritual scales coming off of our eyes. The call on a Gentile Christian, according to Romans 11:11, is to provoke Jewish people to jealousy. You're not going to provoke Jewish people to jealousy clothed in Greco-Roman clothing. It's time to get your Jewish roots back. We'll be right back after this word. Don't go away.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Bill Morford, and there's just so much to talk about, Bill. During the commercial break, we were talking about everyone says that Paul must have been a tent maker.
Right.
You don't think so. Tell me what you think Paul did.
I don't think so. And it happens that one of the major Greek scholars, a German named Bauer, wrote that he didn't think it was a tent. He knew it couldn't be tent maker because there were two other words in Greek referring to tent makers, one for the big tents like the Bedouin used and the other for the little pup tents that travelers used.
So what did Paul do?
He made talitot.
The prayer shawls.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? And then when you understand that, as you put in your Power New Covenant, when you understand that, you understand the woman that had the hemorrhage, the issue of blood, and what did she reach towards when she was reaching towards the Messiah?
The tzitzit.
And which is?
That's the symbol.
Fringes.
That's the fringe on the corners of the garment. And see, that was a huge garment. That was like a poncho. Stretched from wrist to wrist and went down to the knees, just had a hole cut for the head. It's described in John 19, that's the garment that the Roman soldiers cast lots for. And it just had the fringes
now
on the four corners.
What did these fringes stand for?
They stand for all the commandments and promises of God.
So what was that woman doing when she reached towards the tzitzit, which stood for all the promises and commandments of God?
She knew that when an anointed man of God had that on, that all those promises of God were in there and all the power of God was in that fringe. So she reached out and grabbed the fringe of his garment.
And you know what's even more exciting than that is everyone has heard that God said to Moses, "My name is I Am That I Am." But there's a lot of confusion on exactly what that means. Bill, give me an example where I Am is used and what it means in Scripture.
The one I like best is from Genesis 15:1, where God is speaking to Abram and he says, "Do not fear. I am a shield to you, and your reward will be great." And the I Am used there is Anohi, which is I Am with an attitude.
With an attitude?
With an attitude.
Did you get that? God's got an attitude. He's entitled.
He is. And he used that 36 times in Scripture, and it's awesome. It means I have deliberately determined. I am your protection. I am the shield for you. And there are times he uses it as your redeemer, as your savior, as the one who forgives the worst classification of sins, as your comforter. God is awesome that he has determined to do all these things for you. They're absolute.
Look in the camera and tell the people what God has determined for them. With an attitude now.
Right. God is saying to you, I have absolutely determined to be your Savior. I am everything. I'm your deliverer. You are right now being delivered from whatever is ailing you. You're being delivered from every fear right now. If you have a fear of rejection, a fear of failure, a fear of not measuring up. You are being delivered right now. If you have a sickness, if you have an ache, just a pain, you're being delivered right now. He is awesome. He is speaking to you through us now. And you have to know that you have these things, that you just reach up and take them from the throne room right now.
You know, Bill, I just really hope a lot of people get, I'm looking for, you took it. That's why I'm looking for it over here. So this is mine. That's not yours.
That's right.
This is the Power of New Testament. But Matthew 18:18, it gives us insight into the invisible world. Explain that translation.
That's whatever you bind on earth will already have been bound in heaven. See, we don't realize that, and it's with ongoing effect. So it isn't that we can set a new rule for heaven and say, well, we'll bind this on earth, and then it will be bound in heaven. No way. Whatever we bind has to be in the Spirit of the Lord and to be what has already been bound in heaven.
So how do we know in the invisible world what is already not permitted in heaven or what is permitted in heaven, as you explain in your footnotes?
You have to know all God's promises,
but
all
when you
his
know
blessings,
these promises, what does that mean? What kind of authority does that give
that
you?
That gives us all authority. And in Matthew, Jesus said, I'm giving you all authority. He has given us all authority.
Now, math was not one of my strong points, but I happen to know what all is. All authority has been given unto me, Yeshua said. And then he designated, he says, go. Anything that you permit on earth must have already been permitted in heaven, or anything you forbid on earth. You know what, Bill? It's almost like we're the police officers here on earth under the authority of Almighty God. That's what it says to me.
We are. We have to take healing to the street and deliverance. And it's really horrible. Church after church is filled with walking wounded. Not only sickness, but with emotional problems, people suffering from rejection and from abuse. And there's no reason for it. We should all be set free. God's desire is for each of us to be made whole.
Now you have been moving in higher realms recently. You were recently at a congregation, and you moved in deliverance, commanding spirits to leave in a power that you'd never seen before.
Right.
And in prophecy, you were able to speak on behalf of God as his representative to almost everyone that came forward. That was unusual for you.
Everybody in the room.
Tell me one thing that occurred there that might be of interest.
A woman came up. Of course, I'd never seen any of these people before. And she was delivered from rejection. She was delivered from various ploys of the enemy, and all by the Spirit. And she wept and wept and left home.
Speaking of the Spirit,
came up later.
Hold it. This is an interruption from our sponsor, God. He has just told me that people are being healed. Now, Bill, you get ready to see if there's anything God's going to show you. But people are being healed right now of pains, especially in the neck. You move your, now do this right now, move your head, you'll see the pain is gone, and people are actually being supernaturally delivered, Bill, just by you speaking that it was released into the atmosphere. And in the head, migraines of any, remember Bill was talking about his headaches? You haven't had a headache since when?
1981.
That's pretty good. Being set free of migraines right now, ringing in the ears, chest pain. Is God showing you anything?
I feel it in the right hip right now that somebody has a major problem in the right hip, and it's more than just painful. It's almost impossible to walk. And that is being healed while we're speaking. And I feel also in the lower left, and it's not the stomach, I just don't know enough anatomy to say what is in there, except that you know, because you have the pain, and that is leaving now. Someone else with diverticulitis is being healed right now, that now you'll be able to eat whatever you want. So get up and go into that kitchen.
Now, if Bill has not mentioned your condition, or I haven't, God has, by his wounds, you were healed. Just take it, reach into that invisible world, and it's yours. It's already yours. Just transfer it to you. Take that authority that God has given you. Oh, it's all in the name of Yeshua. He's so wonderful. Bill, he is so wonderful.